This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. All this week on The Source, we're going to be hearing from the Ocho, the top eight candidates running for mayor of San Antonio. These were the candidates that were top of the list for polling, fundraising, and a history of serving the city or sitting the state in public office. And so with us right now, we're joined by District 8's Manny Pelaez. If you've got a question or comment for him, you can call in 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And so, Mr. Pelaez, why did you run for mayor?
I'm a dad before I'm anything else, and I'm a true believer that we have an obligation as parents to prepare our children for the path. But those of us who have access to resources and influence, I think it's our obligation also to prepare the path for our children, which in turn prepares the path for everybody else's children. And I was looking around about a year and a half ago, and we all knew who the top eight were going to be because they'd been telegraphing their platforms. And I know the rule is no slinging mud, so I can tell you I just wasn't inspired. And I decided that my kids deserved a mayor who, and everybody's kids deserve a mayor, who doesn't want incremental improvements, but that wants the city to finally achieve its potential. And what I want for the city is for us to be the safest city in America, the strongest, the smartest city in America, the most compassionate city in America. And what I don't want for the city is just for us to be better than the last, you know, than the last term. And I've grown impatient with the politics of incrementalism, and I think it's time for us to aspire to something bigger and stop being jealous of all the other cities who have shiny, beautiful things, and us saying, why can't we do that? And so I just want excellence, and what I've found out is that my neighbors do too.
So the San Antonio editorial board picked you as number two as a person that they would endorse for running for mayor. They said, and this is what their writing had to say, that there's a lot to like about the possibility of Pelaez as mayor. Mm-hmm. Having served 8 years representing District 8 on the north side, Pelaez artfully combines idealism and pragmatism with a strong grasp of the issues facing San Antonio. At the same time, he brings an occasional combativeness to public discourse that is sometimes called for and sometimes undercuts him. Mm-hmm. Do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, sure. So last time I was here, for example, you and I had a pretty lively debate about, whether or not the city council should engage in what I thought was a theatrical vote around abortion that would end up costing us more
money. It was the budget for the city.
That's right.
And they added on the Reproductive Justice Fund.
That's right.
And then you were saying, don't just focus on this, news media. And you actually called out Joey by name. He's in the studio right now.
He is. He's zooming in on his camera.
He's got his phone. So, he's going to put this on social media.
So the reason,
and I was going, why did you call out Joey by name? I thought that was like really, not necessary.
Because I have a First Amendment right. People call me out by name all the time.
Yeah, but you're in two, office.
Yeah, sure.
So about competitiveness, this is what they're talking about.
Yeah, so my right weighs as much as Joey's, weighs as much as yours. Number two, I'm a member of this station. I buy a membership, which
you don't buy a membership. You are a supporter.
Sure, and it costs me money, right? And I think
and we thank you for that.
And I thank you also for the opportunity to speak my mind and to speak the truth, right? And so, if I am anything, it's unfiltered when it comes to difficult truths, right? And my relationship with the media is one where I don't think you guys are sacred cows. I don't think I am. And everybody is flawed in one way or another. And I think that all of us have room for improvement, including me, right? And I don't know what I don't know, right? And I'll be the first one to tell you that in the history of the planet, in the history of humanity, there's only one human being who's walked the surface of the earth who's perfect, and that's my mother-in-law. The rest of us are perfectly able to improve every day. And so when I see the media, maybe not giving proper context to something, expect me to mention it. And please don't be offended. And sometimes my words make people clutch their pearls and gasp. So what I've been telling people is, if you guys want a mayor, who's going to speak the difficult truths about what's wrong and what's right about us and areas where we can improve, then you're going to have to buy a barrel of pearls because you're going to be clutching them a lot. And I find, and I've found that my constituents like plain talk, and people have a pretty good BS meter. And when you when you pepper stuff with a little bit too much BS and a little bit too much gloss on it, people see right through that. And so do I. And so I'm a consumer of truth. I'm always looking for it, and even when that truth is difficult.
Okay, let's go to some truth from some callers.
Yeah.
And the number is 833-877-8255 if you want to call in with a question for mayoral candidate, District 8 Councilmember Manny Pelaez. Let's go to Rebecca. And Rebecca, you're on the air. Hi, Rebecca, are you there? Rebecca, it looks like she's stepped away. So let's go to the next caller, and I think is it Robert? And Robert, you're on the air.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Mr. Pelaez, please don't take this as wrong, but I heard that you have a terrible attendance record compared to the other council members. And I'm saying to myself, if that's the case, are you going to change that as a mayor if you're elected? Because I think it's important to, if you're going to do your job, to have a good attendance.
Okay. Okay. All right, Robert, thank you for that question. So is that true?
Or do you Robert, thanks for the question. You heard sort of correctly. I have there's one meeting that has developed into the biggest waste of time for city council. It's Wednesdays at 5 p.m. It's about the same four people who show up every single meeting to come talk to us. It's one guy named Jack Finger, who is, you know, Jack Finger. And then there's about three other guys who come and talk to us about the radio chips in their head and the black helicopter floating over their house. That is a spectacular waste of time for city council members. On those nights, on Wednesdays, instead I choose to be with my homeowners associations or industry groups or nonprofits, where I find much more value in talking to people about the issues. What I want to do, Robert, is to change that meeting, the one meeting that I intentionally choose to not attend. I want to change it to where we take it once a month to the district so that every single council person is responsible for filling that room. And I think that we'd get a lot more out of it when we go to the public as opposed to expecting the public to come downtown, pay for parking so that they can speak their truth to us. And so unapologetically, I'll tell you that I have found a better way to spend my time than listening to the same four guys.
So this is the citizens to be heard.
That's what we call it, but there's no citizens that show up to speak about really much.
Okay. All right. Interesting. So there is some issues or some questions about the wastewater operator seeking a permit for the controversial Guadalupe Ranch development. There's been some inability for the city to share some of the information about a deal that was made working with the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District. So this whole thing goes to transparency, development of public or loss of public trust, and also water and development in San Antonio. So what are your thoughts?
So first of all, I was one of the three people in San Antonio who brought the big pipeline that we call Vista Ridge to San Antonio. The company who ran it is gone, but the contracts are still in place, and it got us 50 years of clean water at the prices that were set 20 years ago. As we're moving forward, we need to start planning for what happens at the end of those 50 years, and we need to get ahead of it. I'll tell you that I feel like we cannot build out another Vista Ridge pipeline where we steal water from other communities in other parts of Texas who need the water.
We purchase that water.
The people who live there don't feel that way, right? And so that's water they don't get to drink, and we purchased it from a private party. And so what we did was we have been working on desalination over the years, and SAWS has a very important desalination plan. Desalination has now become more cost accessible than it was 20 years ago. I think the future of San Antonio's water sourcing is desalination.
But this issue is about the Correct. Dumping of treated wastewater into the aquifer.
Which is why I completely oppose the Guajolote Ranch project. And we went, and I've spoken to the neighbors around that area. I'll remind you, these are not technically in San Antonio, but water runs downhill, right? And it will have a negative impact on San Antonio. I think the change has to be made in Austin, because at the end of the day, the developer is basically clinging to the Texas property code and saying, these are my rights, and I really don't care about what the neighbors want. And the neighbors are screaming and yelling about it. And so during this legislative session, my hope is that the state, the Senate, the governor's office, and the House finally fix what's wrong here, which is that some developers can come in and just dump dirty water in our creeks that ends up running into our aquifer. And so we've got a very, very serious problem up there. But we've been good at advocating at the state for different changes that that threaten or erode our ability to protect San Antonians. And I do trust that Senator Jose Menendez, House Rep Phil Cortez, John Lujan, they're on top of this. And I think they're doing a great job at telling the San Antonio story.
Well, what about the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District secretly negotiating a settlement agreement and then not allowing that to be made public?
Yeah. So
I mean, you guys didn't even know about it.
Yeah, which is what's broken at City Hall, by the way. You know, you had Adriana come in just a few minutes ago and tell you that we received a memo telling us that we'd be defunded, that we had been defunded in many ways, and including MetroHealth's, you know, vaccination programs. We found that out in the memo at or around the same time the media found out. And we have found out a lot of things by memo that surprise us. And the one thing I always say is that at work, you should never surprise your coworkers and you should never surprise your clients. And
never surprise your boss.
And your boss, right? And so that for me was a disappointment. And I think the next mayor needs to bring in an expectation and demand that we not be surprised by the dealings of city departments without us being involved in those decisions. And my hope is that the next mayor takes that very seriously.
So we heard from the previous candidate that somehow the city would find the money to keep these vital programs for vaccinations and HIV, STD things happening in San Antonio. Do you think that's going
to
happen?
We don't have a choice. We have to, right? And that money has to come from somewhere. And if it's not coming from the federal government, it's going to have to come from other cuts and or including things like maybe we don't fund the NCAA Final Four next year. Maybe we dedicate that to saving people's lives.
All right, so we're going to take a break here. I've got some callers. I'm going to get them on the air when we come back from the break. I've got room for a couple of more. The number is 833-877-8255. If you got a question or a comment for Manny Pelaez, District 8 City Council member, and he is running for mayor, this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're having mayoral candidate week with the Ocho. These are the eight candidates who met the Texas Public Radio rubric. They have the best funding. They're tops in the polling. They have a history of community service, holding public office. And so we're having them on the air this week, one at a time, and giving you a chance to get to know them and ask them the questions. And so we have Manny Pelaez from District 8 with us today. And let's go to Rebecca. And Rebecca, you there now?
Yes, I am.
Okay, go ahead with your question.
It's just a comment, actually. San Antonio has like a high illiteracy rate in crime opposed to other major cities like Dallas and Houston. And it has already so many sports arenas, more than any of the other major cities. So why another? And the destruction of the Texas Institute isn't acceptable. That's a historical representation of not only San Antonio, but of Texas and also the United States. Austin is a city that's not only a capital, but a city also. And so many people look up to that city, and it has low crime rate, low illiteracy, no major sports teams there, but they're able to make it happen. And that would be something great for San Antonio to do also, but without the elitist attitude that they have. Thank you so much, and good luck with the mayor race and everything.
All right, Rebecca, thank you so much. We're breaking up there, asking about why do we need two more sports facilities downtown San Antonio. And it says, look at Austin. They're able to be a successful city without all of that.
So, Rebecca, thanks for the question. I think you and I just became best friends because I believe pretty much everything that you just articulated, which is why I have already set out and stated very, very plainly, I will not support the city spending a single dime on bricks and sticks for a new stadium, and that to the extent that we do participate in Project Marvel in other ways, the only way I'll support Project Marvel is if 10% of that money, the revenue generated, goes towards public safety in the neighborhoods around San Antonio, because if it's not benefiting neighborhoods, then it's really only benefiting one group. And then number two, that a very significant portion of that revenue also goes towards literacy programs, childcare, and making schools safer. And so if it doesn't meet those two criteria, your next mayor, Manny Pelias, just won't support it. And because if it doesn't help people, then what are we doing?
So working off that question that Rebecca asked about Austin, San Antonio and Austin, the projection is by 2050, the combo metro loco, whatever you want to call it, that we have, it's going to have a higher population than the Dallas-Fort Worth metropolitan area. But the way things are growing now between the two is not being worked out. It's not planned. We don't have high-speed transportation between. So how can we make sure that that growth is going to benefit these two metropolitan areas?
I believe that this mayor, then the next mayor, will have to convene the mayors of every city, not just Austin, right? But Kyle and Buda and New Braunfels and Seguin and Schertz and all the cities in between, to have the conversation that about pain, that we've reached a threshold of pain that can no longer be sustainable, right? And how it is that we need to bring this collective leadership to bear on a solution, right? And we all know the solution. The solution is, making a very, very fast way to get from Austin and San Antonio and everywhere in between. And there really is only one technology out there that permits us to do that, which is rail. We can continue to build highway lanes and we can build double-decker lanes, but that is also not conducive to improving people's lives in a very meaningful way. Texas has traditionally been allergic to passenger rail. And I suspect it's because Southwest Airlines has a lot of very high paid lobbyists, but that's going to be a convening job of the next mayor and saying we will all pitch in to make this a reality. But if Austin and San Antonio are the ones in the room and none of the other middle cities are in there, then it's just going to be a lot of talk.
Let's go to Tiffany. And Tiffany, you're on the air with City Council Member District 8, Manny Pelias, candidate for mayor.
Hi, Tiffany. Hi, Mr. Pelias. I am actually, it's funny you mentioned transportation. That's probably the second question I would have. And I do work for a railway company. So it does baffle me that San Antonio and Austin don't have some way of connecting and being able to do business, which I think would also enhance San Antonio. But my actual question was in regards to the programs or that you would put forth to make San Antonio not incrementally move like a snail, but actually leap into today being the sixth largest city, branching it out like a phoenix or something similar to move it ahead. But my question is, the education system, how do you plan on us being the brightest? How do you plan on putting in programs that are diverse for all the cultures San Antonio represents to show its compassion? So that's my question to you. I'd like to know what those programs might be to make us diverse DEI without,
Tiffany, you're asking a lot of stuff there. Pick one.
Okay,
what's your number one question?
Mine are the programs. What programs would you put forward to basically show San Antonio as compassionate and diverse?
All right. Thank you, Tiffany.
Tiffany, my district, District 8, is the most diverse district in the entire city. We speak 32 languages in my district. And in my district, they are doctors and nurses and teachers and engineers and lawyers and et cetera, right? And one of the things that we just did was for the first time ever, we now have a cultural corridor on the north side called the Silk Road Cultural Corridor, which celebrates all of the historical, religious, language, food traditions from that part of the country. We have to be very intentional about recognizing where culture exists and where opportunity to celebrate those culture exists. Number two, you mentioned DEI. I will tell you that right now DEI is this boogeyman you know, in certain people's minds. But when you break it down, which one of the words do you think offends them the most?
It's actually diversity? DEIA, yes. Accessibility.
That's right. So which one of those words do you think offends them the most? Diversity, equity, inclusion, or accessibility, right? And when you break it down and talk to people about what it means, the synonyms for those words, by the way, are civil rights, access, and opportunity. And so which one of those do they not want people to have, right? And we know that there's a certain worldview out there that informs our, you know, the occupant of the White House right now, and that they see cities that celebrate culture, the cities that celebrate civil rights, the cities that are looking out for vulnerable folks and trying to solve for the pain, they see that as un-American, right? And one thing San Antonio has done throughout its existence is to protect that which makes us us. And I've always said that diversity is a means to an end, right? Because equity is where we're trying to get, and inclusion is the vehicle that we're going to take to get there. And if we don't fight for our soul, and by the way, DEI is the soul of this city. If we don't fight for that, then what are we? Plano? By the way, I've never heard of a song or a poem written about Plano, and there's a reason for that, right? They have no soul.
Okay. Plano is an interesting place. Let's go, and I love it. Let's go to Rachel. Rachel, you're on the air.
Thank you. Councilman Pelaez, I'd like to continue a conversation you initiated with me during Day of the Volunteer at Alamo Beer Company.
Hi.
On Saturday,
yeah.
And you offered me your Fiesta medal, and I told you I would not support any candidate who had not participated in the Bear Deaf Club mayoral candidate forum on April 10th.
Yeah.
And I would like to now give you the opportunity to answer the top question, which Councilwomen Cabello Harvda and Rocha Garcia answered along with the other candidates who did participate.
Okay.
And that question was, in its interactions with the San Antonio Police Department and interacting with deaf residents who are victims of crime, does not call in interpreters and completely ignores the deaf victims of crime, creating a very negative and alienating.
Okay, we lost the call.
No, it's fair. I appreciate the call. So April 10th was the Deaf Communities Mayoral Forum. Sadly, that was the exact same night that we had our own forum on the north side, and we were meeting with small businesses and people who were building affordable housing up there. And so I'm sorry about that conflict, but I'm happy you called in. You're 100% right. We have a police department that doesn't have the sufficient tools. It's manned and womaned. It's staffed by some excellent folks, but there aren't, ASL interpreters that can make the scene very quickly. And that's wrong, right? I mean, at the end of the day, a person who is deaf or blind or has any other, you know, physical difference has the equal right to enjoy the same services that everybody else does. And that includes being able to speak to an officer and be understood. And it's something that we can do better. Now, one of the places where we have done better to make sure that we are providing that right to speak and be heard is with our critical care teams, where now officers are being trained on domestic violence. And there is a straight line that you can draw between domestic violence and the deaf community and the special needs community, because a lot of the domestic violence in that community goes unreported, and we can do so much better, which again goes back to my distaste for incrementalism.
But this is one of those things where if we get this right, we'll get so many other things right.
Correct. Absolutely right. And so here's the thing. One of the things I learned at, because I was the very first person ever hired by Toyota, right? Toyota said to us, do something. And if you're going to do it, be the best at it, and don't rest until you're the best, right? And so one of the things, and you're 100% right, if we accomplish and do something absolutely right, unquestionably right, a lot of other pieces will fall into place, right? But we have to set that goal. And we may never reach perfection, right? But we'll certainly get much closer than if we say, hey, here's some low expectations. And I believe low expectations are self-fulfilling prophecies.
Right. So we're almost out of time here. Got about 45 seconds for you. Give me your top priority. You walk in there day one. What do you put on top of the to-do list?
5 contracts with the people. 1, how to make San Antonio the safest city. 2, second day, strongest city. 3rd day, smartest city. 4th day, most authentic. 5th day, compassion. And that's maybe the most important one. Ron Nirenberg started a conversation with us 8 years ago about becoming the most compassionate city. And we are almost there. And we need to double down on that conversation and do everything that compassion means to you and to me.
Manny Pelias, he is the representative for District 8, and he is running for mayor of San Antonio. Manny, thank you so much for coming on to the studio today and talking to me. Thank you. Appreciate that. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.